You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Dana just said she will take any reasonable offer. Reasonable is the key word. But we have our own version of comedian here in the studio.
It's the Dana and Parks banana.
Well, now, wait a minute. We can't go selling it because we don't have the rights.
Well, no one else does either right now,
yeah,
Sam.
The artist does.
We can recreate it for free.
This is not their banana and their duct tape. This is your banana.
And electrical tape.
And electrical tape.
That's right.
Completely different thing.
Is that a banana on your door?
Yes, it is, Dan.
And yes, we're happy to see you.
And you can take any banana home with the duct tape on it from this studio that you want with a winning bid that must start at $500,000.
I would like to place a bid for that's part of my lunch and I need it back soon.
Okay, Sam, what if...
Donate to Coats for Kids.
Because it's tall. You know, we put it sort of tall up on the door.
Okay.
It's about 5.5 feet.
We did. We Facebook Lived it. What if you eat your banana in the next break, but we don't let you take it down from the door? You have to eat it off the door.
That is a great challenge that I accept, not in the next break.
Can you imagine, though, if you were eating it off of the door and boss came in?
That would hurt my face.
No, that is a workers' comp claim. Unlike the, I guarantee you, there is never in the history of workers' comp an injury involving eating a banana off of a door.
Would that fall under accidental death and dismemberment?
Dismemberment, definitely, because okay. Your teeth would be dismembered from your face.
I just went to the dentist this morning. He would be very upset.
Did you die during the dismemberment, Sam?
I don't know. It hasn't happened yet. We'll see.
Well, you would have to, according to Dana.
It's death and...
It should have been then dismemberment and death.
That's true. One would happen before the other.
Right. Your dismemberment would occur, and then your death would occur.
Like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Right. What comes first, death or dismemberment?
It could happen the other way. You could pass, and then you could still be dismembered.
Wouldn't that be organ donation?
I just want someone to buy my banana.
I'm going to leave that one there on the table.
On the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Played pickleball this morning.
How'd that go?
Got up at 5:30. The only person I would ever get up at 5:30 for that did not involve my children or the crowning of a child is my friend Dr. Michelle that you met. And look, she gave me this t-shirt.
It says, be good to people.
She wears it every single day. It says, be good to people. And I will tell you, wearing this shirt, it does reframe your outlook, even in traffic, if you start feeling like you want to throw up a middle finger. It's harder to do that when you are wearing a t-shirt that says, be good to people.
I couldn't help but notice it. The phrase, be good to people, is trademarked.
Yeah, BGTP, be good to people.
Who trademarked it?
It's a woman in Colorado, and my friend Dr. Michelle, who is my co-chair for 7 days this year, the breakfast coming up in April, always wears this shirt. And we had her on the show a few days ago, and I was like, I want one of those shirts. And sure enough, we show up to play pickleball this morning, and there she is. Do you know at serve, in the shadow of that very back left-hand indoor court, Scott, I think they call it the kitchen, the very back left court, you know, the courts are all named. They are building like a 7-story monster of an apartment complex. And when I say in the shadow of serve, the apartment complex is like you could dink a pickleball from the balcony and hit serve. That's how close it is. Feet. We're talking feet.
Well, close, isn't it?
And the last time we were there, I do not remember that construction.
I don't either.
I mean, you know, those garage doors have windows in them. So
we were there a month ago.
You look out of serve and you look up and you just see this gigantic apartment complex going in there. Huh. I hope no one complains about the pickleball noise when you move into that apartment complex.
Can you hear it from outside of serve?
I don't know. But when one buys an apartment or leases a loft, literally 20 feet from a pickleball court,
thwack,
you lose your right to complain about the noise. I'm not saying there's going to be noise. I don't know. I'm just saying it's close enough. It's like complaining about a golf ball in your yard when you live on hole 10. I mean, come on.
Well, the last time we were there, which was a month ago, when I was leaving, there were still a couple of games going on. I don't remember hearing the noise outside, but then again, being at a pickleball place, I would expect to hear it anyway and wouldn't think twice about it.
It's kind of assumed sound.
Right.
You're not paying attention to it.
Yeah.
I don't think the people that have filed lawsuits over the sound of pickleball can actually hear it inside their homes, if we're being completely honest.
Do you not remember that lawsuit in Mission Hills? Where I'm pretty sure...
They bought that house
The club just ended up buying
the
house.
They just bought the house.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. They just bought the house?
Cheaper to buy the house than it was to
let the lawsuit drag on.
Yeah. They just bought the house.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Huh.
Move.
For the first time ever, Kansas City travelers will be able to fly nonstop to Gulf Shores, Alabama. Allegiant Airlines announcing today that it will launch direct flight service from KCI to Gulf Shores International Airport beginning on May 24th of next year. They'll operate twice weekly on Wednesdays and on Saturdays.
Direct to Gulf Shores.
Yep.
When are we getting direct to Biloxi?
Not in May of next year. And guess who goes before the parole board tomorrow, Dana Wright?
I'm not going to let you do this to me.
Susan Smith, who shocked the nation 30 years ago when she rolled her car into a lake with her two children inside.
And blamed a black man that did not exist.
And watched them drown, will ask a parole board tomorrow to release her from prison. Smith will testify virtually to the 7-person panel about why she believes she is ready to re-enter society. The board must approve parole with a simple majority vote. 4-3 does it.
God.
In order to release her. Almost 30 years ago to the day, Susan Smith made international headlines when she said she was carjacked late at night near Union, South Carolina, by a black man. She told police the man drove away with her 3-year-old son, Michael, and 14-month-old son, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Has she served the entirety of the time that was handed to her?
It was 30 years to life in prison. She is, I don't know, well, I mean,
some states, when they say 30 to life, does life really mean life?
Well, 30, it's eligible for parole after the 30 years, not automatic release at 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
When was she sentenced? Stand by.
Well, keep in mind, she was arrested 9 days after the killings. So that would be considered time served. I don't believe she ever got bond. So whatever 9 days after the killings occurred, that is how long she's been in prison.
November 3rd, 1994.
Okay.
So she's done more than 30 years.
I was a sophomore at KU. There are some crimes that are so awful, you do not get out. You don't. You don't get out. I know that they call it 30 years to life. That one is life. And I think a lot of people would argue that one should have been death.
Did she argue... what's it called?
Mental defect or something?
Postpartum depression.
No.
She didn't make that argument in court?
The children were...
14 months was the youngest.
I don't believe she argued postpartum.
I think postpartum would have played in, though, had she tried to argue it. Did you also see that all of her lovers that were lined up outside the jailhouse waiting for her release?
Line forms to the left, guys.
Doesn't she already have a relationship lined up, ready to go if she gets out?
That's what I'm saying right now. They've all turned their backs to her. She has no more lovers waiting on the outside.
I thought there was a guy who had...
I think he came to his senses, or maybe someone smacked him over the head with a 2x4. And brought his senses to him. I did hear there was some sort of paramour.
It's in the stack that none of them have her back anymore. But there was a guy because she was
heard.
Why
would they have had it in the beginning?
She was heard on phone call saying, or excuse me, he was heard on phone call saying to her that she would be a great stepmom.
All right, coming up a little later on the program, we have a Missouri man who faces execution coming up. In a handful of weeks, Scott. Okay. Execution.
All right.
Even though another man has confessed to the murder.
Really?
His name is Christopher Collings. He has 2 weeks to live unless the United States Supreme Court or the Missouri governor steps in to halt his execution. The Missouri governor won't step in when we actually know without a doubt, with prosecutors backing it, that the wrong person is in prison for the crime. So forget the governor.
And the attorney general.
Collings needs the United States Supreme Court.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 586-7798 on Dana and Parks. Story here from the Kansas City Star. Christopher Collings has 2 weeks to live unless the U.S. Supreme Court or the Missouri governor steps in to halt his execution. Attorneys for the 49-year-old said as 6 p.m. on December 3rd approaches, their client has been scared and he's been nervous. They also say information about his case could give decision makers pause. Collings allegedly confessed to the 2007 killing of 9-year-old Rowan Ford in southwestern Missouri, but so did the girl's stepfather, David Spears, who is now 42. He also confessed. Initially, Spears also faced the possibility of the death penalty, but he was eventually charged on lesser offenses, convicted of endangering a child and hindering prosecution. The Missouri Department of Corrections said Spears was released from prison in March of 2015.
This case is an example of why we are so terrible at the death penalty in the United States. So her stepdad, David Spears, confessed to the murder of his stepdaughter, led authorities to the little girl's body inside of a cave, and served 11 years. I'm going to say that again. Her stepdad led authorities to the body, confessed, and got 11 years.
Now, he didn't serve 11 years. He may have been sentenced to 11 years because the killing occurred in 2007. He was released from prison, according to the Star, in 2015. So he served 8 years of that 11-year sentence.
His friend, 32-year-old at the time, Christopher Leroy Collings, is set to be executed for this crime. There is no recorded confession. From what I read in this Kansas City Star article, the then police chief, who has since passed away, just said, I took him out. We were having a conversation on this small town bridge. He confessed to me.
But it was stepdad David Spears
who confessed and led authorities
led them
to the body.
Now, come on.
Yeah, right? Now, Did Mr. Collings, who's asking for clemency here, have something to do with it? I don't know whether he did or he didn't. Mm-hmm. But how can you sentence someone to death, as heinous and horrible and awful as this crime was and is, and should there be justice for Rowan? Absolutely. How can you sentence Collings to death and not the stepfather who led authorities to the body,
confessed himself
and was driving the SUV that the dogs hit on death in that SUV, by the way. How does he get 8 years or whatever he served? No comment for the article, by the way. He had no comment. And the other guy gets the death penalty and is going to be executed for it. In what world does that make sense, Scott?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I think stepdad should, if somebody's on death row,
it should be stepdad.
And Collings, to your point, Dana, whether he had anything to do with this young lady's death, I don't know. But then let me be the voice for people in their cars right now. If he had nothing to do with it, why did he confess allegedly?
There is now,
there's no recording.
That's recording, right, or direct evidence that confession ever happened.
You're right. We suck at the death penalty.
If we did it better and appropriately and well, most people would not have a problem with that punishment when it comes to the rape and murder of a child. If you're going to have the death penalty, Susan Smith, you reserve it for those
now,
cases.
Was this girl also raped?
Yes.
And did they run a DNA test?
I do not have that information in front of me. Her stepfather was taken into custody and confessed. He led them to the body November 9th, 2007. Told investigators he loaded the body into his mom's Suburban and dumped the body in a sinkhole. He said to investigators that Collings, who is now set to be executed for this, was with him at the time.
Was with him at the time of the killing?
What he said, just
or
with,
the,
no,
or
just
the body
with him,
dumping.
With him at the time of the dumping.
Okay.
Well, wouldn't Collings have known where the body was and been able to lead police to the body then?
Sam, what I'm saying is this isn't enough to take a man's life.
It will be in Missouri.
In Missouri, it will be. Do I think the governor is going to step in? No. The governor won't step in when we know 1,000% the person is innocent and is still behind bars.
Kevin Strickland.
Yes.
And nor the attorney general.
Innocence be damned. The attorney general, the governor, gives a gigantic middle finger when we get things wrong. You honestly think he's going to step in a case that involves the rape and murder of a child?
And
not happening.
And keep in mind, in the Kevin Strickland case, even the Jackson County prosecutor
said he is innocent.
Petitioned the governor to let Kevin Strickland go.
Nope. Missed his own mom's funeral.
We don't even have any evidence that this guy did anything wrong.
There's one sentence really far down, Sam, that says Collings is remorseful for any involvement. Now, does that mean he was there when she was placed? I don't know. It doesn't get into that here.
Yeah.
What I know is there is no proven confession. And the stepdad who did confess.
And you said the dogs hit
on the
on
car
the SUV or whatever.
He said to authorities, I put her in this car. I drove her to this spot. He drove authorities to that spot and said, here she is. And she was out in 8 years.
Is this Mayberry?
Yes.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. We will be doing terrible jokes coming up at 3:45. If you want to start sending those in, you know the text line. It's the same as the phone number. Go ahead and start sending in your terrible but arable jokes to the text line, and we'll get to terrible jokes at 3:45 this afternoon. Oh, is that a double rainbow? Oh, my word.
No. We have to talk about it. It brings me joy. We have to talk about it.
It was awesome.
Sam,
what does it mean?
Did you end up seeing some of the posts regarding this gigantic gift over Kansas City yesterday? It took over social media, and we mentioned it live on the air because I got a photo. And I looked down, and I was
gorgeous,
like,
picture.
Oh, my gosh,
gorgeous.
There's the most beautiful rainbow.
Well, I saw just as many pictures of that rainbow as I saw the loading screen of the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight.
Because people are starved for good news right now. People are starved for something that's a little funny or a little kitschy or a little like lovely, just something that isn't death and doom and destruction. And so all of the police departments are posting, like, this is our patrol car underneath the rainbow. Like, everyone is posting about
it. So let me ask a dumb question, and I would have done the research on it, but it just popped into my head. Everybody who's posting the photos of this rainbow mentioned that it was in Shawnee. Western Shawnee.
Right. Where does a rainbow live?
So here's my dumb question that I don't have the answer for. And Sam, if you have the time to do a quick Google search on it, maybe. Depending on where you stand, does a rainbow shift its position?
Yes.
For example, if I'm looking from here at the radio station out west,
yeah,
towards Shawnee, and I see this gigantic, beautiful rainbow, and let's say the location of which I see it is Shawnee Mission Parkway and K-7 Highway. Okay?
Is it a Shawnee rainbow?
If I'm at Shawnee Mission Parkway and K-7, do I realize that there's a rainbow directly above me as Scott Park sees it from Mission that afternoon?
No, you would not see it directly above you. You would see it in the direction that the sun is coming from wherever you are standing.
But where Rainbows, was it?
Well, it depends on where you are.
Yeah. So a rainbow, this is the science behind it, the reason we get rainbows. They happen after storms because there's an excess of water droplets in the air. Mm-hmm. When the sun hits those water droplets, it creates a prism. Think the Pink Floyd album cover.
Was he Bill Nye?
Might be.
I just love rainbows. And so
I'll give
wherever
you, I'll give you,
you
extra
are,
credit if you can tell me what album cover that was.
Okay. You digress. Keep going, Sam.
I actually don't know.
Dark Side of the Moon.
So wherever you are, when you are looking towards the direction of the sun, or in some cases, depending on where the water droplets are in your proximity, looking away from the sun, you will see that prism form based on the sunlight traveling through the droplets in the air.
Second stupid question from Scott this afternoon. So if the location of the rainbow from where I'm looking at it here at the radio station is in Western Shawnee, is it possible that if you're in Western Shawnee, you don't see a rainbow at all?
Yes.
There were some people who wrote, because I posted those two photos, and then, man, I said, post your photos here. Mm-hmm. If you go to that my page, my work page, the Dana KMBZ page, there must be 100 different photos of different vantage points of that rainbow. A couple of posters, it wasn't many, said because of the way the sun was and the clouds were from where they were standing, they were not able to see it.
We couldn't see it from the building.
The overwhelming majority of commenters, though, said they could see it and shared photos of it.
It all depends on the angle at which you are in comparison to the angle which the sun is pushing through the water droplets based on your line of sight.
Here are some of the comments from our listeners. Christine wrote, you could see it from Leavenworth. Amazing. Vicky writes, it was perfect. Stacy, in Grandview, it was incredible. Lewisburg had a double rainbow.
What did it mean?
I got a little bit of a look at it in Ottawa, Kansas, says Mindy Moore.
You want another fun fact?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All rainbows are double rainbows. We just can't always see the reflection of the prism. And if you're in the air like a plane or a helicopter and there is a rainbow forming,
it's a circle.
It's a full circle.
Oh, okay. That would just blow my mind.
Oh, have you never seen a full circle rainbow?
But that's why you can never find the end of a rainbow.
How do you know?
Because there is no end
to
the
rainbow.
It's a circle. It's round.
Here's the other deal about that rainbow. If you go back and look at some of the photos, it was a full arcing rainbow. So you can very clearly just see the defined arc that goes all the way on the left. It touches the earth, or appears to, all the way over, and it touches the earth on the right.
This is what a rainbow looks like from the air.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that incredible?
What I loved about this rainbow is if you zoom in, and that's this photo here, Scott, the width of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
With the very well-defined red,
huge,
yellow, and blue, it was the widest rainbow band I have ever seen in my life.
And remember, we had slow, steady rainfall all day long. So that put a lot of droplets in the air. That's why sometimes when you see a rainbow, it's very short. You only see a portion of the rainbow. It all depends on how many droplets are in the air and how pronounced that rainbow will become because of the prevalence of those droplets. A fun experiment, you know, when you put your thumb on the end of a water hose and it fans out?
Yeah, yeah.
Do that into the sun in front of you.
Yeah.
And you'll see a rainbow.
While rainbows are a well-known phenomenon, they are not considered common, as most places see fewer than 6 rainbows per year. Not people. Most regions see fewer than 6 per year.
Really? I did not know that. By the way, terrible jokes coming your way in just a handful of minutes, so get your arable but terrible jokes in to the text line. That's 913-586-7798. We didn't do terrible jokes last week, so we'll do it this week. We'll do that right after 3:45. Did you hear about the face transplant guy?
Is this the chimpanzee ate his face off
guy? No.
Okay.
I'll walk delicately here.
How do we go from a rainbow to face transplant guy?
Because we were done talking about the rainbow.
Yeah, that took a dark turn.
I can do a different story.
No, let's go. No, let's just dive right in.
Let's just go straight to the dark side of the moon.
His name is Derek Pfaff, and when he was in college, he attempted suicide and survived. And when he woke up in the hospital, he didn't have a nose, eyelids, or either his upper or lower jaw. And many of his teeth were missing.
Wow, that's remarkable.
Yeah. And he went through 58 facial surgeries. They were helpful, but Pfaff was still missing his nose, his upper and lower jaw, his teeth, and part of his forehead. He was unable to chew or speak.
He says, I lived for a reason. I want to help others, in a statement released this week by the Mayo Clinic. I am so grateful to my donor, his family, and my care team at Mayo Clinic for giving me this second chance. And it is, you can tell something has happened to him, but this is not the face transplant of 20 years ago where it's like, whoa, this is a successful face transplant surgery.
One of his quotes that I saw earlier today, he said, I finally look like a human again.
Yeah.
The surgery was 50 plus hours, involved 80 healthcare professionals. They removed the face of a donor and then surgically implanted the donor tissue onto Pfaff to restore his face structure and functions. about 85% of his face had to be reconstructed and replaced with the donor tissue.
You know, when you think about being an organ donor, and I hope everyone listening, please sign up to be an organ donor, tell your family your wishes. There are two websites, one for Kansas, one for Missouri. Look it up. Mm-hmm. I long ago registered on that website. Please do the same. You think about tissue and cornea, and you think about, you know, you want to donate
heart,
liver, heart, lungs, all of the organs, all of those important things. Mm-hmm. I don't think people think about the face. And would you, you know, is that a separate waiver you have to sign when they come to you as a family and there's been some sort of wreck, but your body is intact, okay?
Right.
But they're going to take you off life support. Is that a separate ask from the organ donation folks? Like, do you mind, there is a man in desperate need of a second chance, and we need the face? So I think of all the things people would be like, let's donate, let's sign on the dotted line for all the tissue and all the organs. I think the face, you know, would maybe, like, am I going to see my deceased loved one in a crowd someday?
Which would be weird.
But you're still putting that facial tissue on another human being's bone structure. So I don't think it's actually going to completely look like your loved one, but
probably pretty close.
I think it would give, that will give people some pause.
I wonder if he was or has been in contact with the donor's family and if they would want to see.
See, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't.
But, you know, to answer your question, when Midwest Organ came in when my dad was on life support, that was one thing they did not ask about was his face.
Well, because I don't know back then, Scott, did we even have the technology to do this?
Dana, I don't know. I don't remember when the first one was done.
Well, the first one was done with the chimpanzee woman, which, by the way, how are the macaws doing? Have we got them? What are we down to?
I'm going to need
a macaw update every single day.
Hang on.
How many of those monkeys are still on the loose? How do you say it? Macaque?
Macaque.
Macaque?
No.
Macaque. Wait, really?
How about just macaque? Macaque.
Yeah, it's macaque.
Has anyone seen macaque?
Watch it. You're getting dangerously close, Sam.
I'm just saying it how you pronounce it.
Just.
She's the one taking it weird.
Uh-huh. Excuse me.
Okay.
Anyone?
Yep. 6 hours ago, four monkeys remain loose.
Four. We're down to four.
It was six yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Now we're down to four. Yep. They caught two overnight. Slippery little sons of guns. Let's see. Let me make sure they caught him and didn't just find him dead or something.
Oh, I hope not. You know, 43 out of the gate made a break for it. 43 made a break for it.
Yep.
Macaque.
They caught two more overnight.
And
they're in good health.
And now we're down. What, we're down to how many are still on the loose? Six?
Four.
Okay.
It was six yesterday. It's four today.
Okay.
So there's your update.
Now, the two that they trapped in the last couple of days, Scott, happened right outside of the Alpha Genesis facility, almost as if they were saying, let us back in.
We're a little hungry.
Yeah.
It's time to come home.
Yeah, we kind of liked our three hots and a cot.
And they were examined and were, quote, in excellent condition. Listen to this from one of the, this is a PR nightmare. I'm guessing this is from one of the people that work inside. We can attest with absolute certainty that their spirits were high. And that they showed all the outward signs of being happy, well-adjusted monkeys.
And could not wait to ingest bleach again.
We are very pleased the animals recovered thus far are in such good condition, and they show no ill effects from their outdoor adventure.
They are already itching, waiting to itch from whatever we spread on them.
That's right. Terrible jokes coming your way in just a moment. Get your terrible but arable joke in. The text line is 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Time for one of our favorite segments every single week, Terrible Joke Tuesday, where your joke has to be terrible, but it has to be arable. The text line is 913-586-7798. Who's first?
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
How do farmers party?
How do farmers party?
They turn up the beats. Thanks.
Hey, Sam.
Oh, yes, Scott.
From 8761. You know, Lance isn't a very common name these days.
Really?
Yeah, but in medieval times, people were called Lance a lot.
Hey, Scott.
Dana.
What do you call a wizard who's good with ceramics?
I don't know. What?
Harry Pottery.
Hey, Scott.
Oh, my God. Sam!
What kind of music do bunnies like most?
I don't know.
Hip-hop.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
From 4228, why do only some couples go to the gym?
Why?
Because some relationships don't work out.
Sam.
Yes?
What did one plate say to the other?
I don't know.
Dinner's on me.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
Where do mansplainers get their water?
Where do mansplainers get their water?
Well, actually.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Dana.
What do you call a chicken just staring at lettuce?
I don't know.
Chicken sees a salad?
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
From 5383, what instrument does the skeleton play in the marching band?
I don't know.
The trombone.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, Sam.
You know, back when I was in school, budget cuts made it so my district only taught 25 letters.
Huh.
I don't know why.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
What do you call a blind dinosaur?
I don't know.
Do you think he saw us?
Hey, Dana.
Yeah.
This is from young Hazel in the audience, 1781. Uh-huh. She listens to the show and loves Terrible Joke Tuesday.
Love the name Hazel.
Why did the banana go to the hospital?
Why did the banana go to the hospital?
Because it didn't peel well.
That was very funny, Hazel.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
Where do rainbows go when they're bad?
I don't know.
To prism. It's a light sentence, but they'll have time to reflect
all
on
right.
what they did.
Okay, out.
That was a threefer.
Out. Scott, which bear is the most condescending?
I don't know.
A panda.
Winner, winner. Okay. Hey, Sam.
Yes?
I saw someone dragging a clam on a leash.
Really?
Yeah, it must have been hard to walk with a pulled muscle. I'll see myself out.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
I gave my handyman a list of 5 things to do, and for some reason, he only did 1, 3, and 5.
Oh.
And then he told me he only does odd jobs.
Sam, what vegetables are a sailor's worst nightmare?
I don't know.
Leeks.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
From 6914, what do you call a guy with a rubber toe?
What do you call a guy with a rubber toe?
Roberto.
Okay.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
I was at the pharmacy the other day, and I got a big bottle of omega-3, and it fell on my toe.
Oh.
It didn't hurt, though. It was just super fish oil.
Okay.
Get out.
That was weak.
Scott, why aren't koalas actual bears?
I don't know.
They don't meet the qualifications.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Did I tell you that a friend of mine was kidnapped and tortured by a gang of mimes?
No.
They did unspeakable things to him.
Sam.
Yes?
What's a ballerina's favorite number?
I'm not sure.
2, 2.
Hey, Dana.
What?
When do calendars fall in love?
When do calendars fall in love?
January 1st. It's their first date.
Okay. Scott.
Yes?
What steals from you when you're in your bathtub?
I don't know.
A robber ducky.
Hey, Scott.
Sam.
Why doesn't lava need to go to college?
I don't know.
It's already a million degrees.
By the way, Texter, the joke is sort of funny, but about the presidents, there's no way
yeah.
in hell.
Oh, yeah.
There Sam, is no way.
What did the left eye say to the right eye?
I don't know.
Between you and me, something smells.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
From 1908. Why do cows have hooves?
Why do cows have hooves?
Because they lack toes. I'll see myself out.
Sam, why was the bee's hair always sticky?
I don't know.
He used a honeycomb.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
Where do ye find a pirate who's lost his wooden leg?
I don't know. Where do ye?
Right where ye left him.
All right. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.